All right, good evening, everyone. I know I like trying new stuff, so just bear with me. You know, somebody has to be the one to try all this stuff to make sure it kind of works. So if it stops working, I still got it in front of me. I'm going to keep going. And believe me, it'll be posted on the website as well as on our group page by Tuesday, so you'll be able to get to read it. And you can make your comments. Always go through and read the comments. And, but I just wanted to try this to see if it works, because I spent a lot of money on this stuff. Keep Sister Maureen in prayer. I've known her quite a bit, and I first time I've ever seen her that wiped out. Just keep her in prayer. Brother Al as well, and of course all the other brothers and sisters within the congregation, especially those who can't make it out. And then we're going to pray for everybody that can make it out. We appreciate you all so much for setting aside what you can use as many excuses to come and worship with us, rather than, you know, rather than sitting home. But I'm not feeling well. It's good to see Sister Lonnie this evening. And I know she said she was pretty in the same condition this morning, and she had to kind of sit back. And so, like I said, just remember, you know, when you're saying those nightly prayers to God to, you know, take your soul if you die in your sleep, remember your brothers and sisters. Remember Brother Carey and, you know, for his condition and what he does. Remember Brother Avery for his condition and what he does. And my condition is I'm a little slow. But just remember everybody. Just tell God he knows. He hears our prayers for ourselves. And I hope you're praying for yourselves, aren't you? Then continue to pray for yourself. Yeah. So continue to pray for yourselves as well as us. You know, keep Brother Ray in your prayers too. See, you know, Brother Ray has problems with his legs, and you know, but yet he's here, and I know he has to get up and get out really soon, especially because his legs are bothering him. So let's pray. Keep everybody in prayer. We're not getting any younger. I wanted to get younger. It was on my wish list, but it hasn't happened yet. So I'm going to keep praying to get younger, and maybe that'll happen. But anyway, let's keep everybody in prayer. Keep me in prayer as well. So when we're talking about some of the things that go on about, you know what I'm saying, keeping everybody in prayer, you notice that when you're watching television, I don't watch regular television, but when you're watching television, over the last 5 or 6 years, there have been an increase in the number of ads for making sure you're prepared for the end. And you, the guys come on, they tell you how expensive a funeral is nowadays, and somebody has a pitch for some type of insurance that either helps you get buried or that gives you a little extra money, and you know, if you're a little bit younger, so that you can be prepared. But nobody ever comes on with that commercial about being prepared, prepared, prepared. You're prepared to go in the ground, but you're not prepared for what happens once you're there. You know, you want to think that your body corrodes and turns into, you know, what you see on television. Or, you know, because, you know, but, it, you know, it's, we know it's more to it than that. And so I always kind of thought about that, about being prepared. And so I'm going to go over a little bit over that. I'm going to be in John chapter 14, as you can see. And I really tried to do an expositor of the entire chapter 14, but I'm not going to try to go through the entire chapter, because I'm not going to keep anybody here till 11 o'clock. But that's what this was originally about. That's why I said it'll be on the website. Lord said the same. You'll be able to read the whole thing. I'm going to turn it on. All right. I was watching on stuff on the television about Jesus, and you know, and I thought hard. As Jesus is attempting to comfort his apostles, he is talking to those 11 who are left after Judas had been dispatched to what he was intended to do. So you remember what Judas was intended to do. If you go to the Book of John, I believe when I read this passage, he, his fleshly existence must have struggled either often or maybe just time to time concerning something that he knew what was coming up, which was his death. Now, one of the things about that is, before we get to that, because I think I missed the slide, Jesus knew from the time that he was able to know, and he had, remember, he had to grow up from a child, he had to grow up from a baby, but by the time he said, I must be about my Father's business, which is 11, 12, or 13, he knew there was an end. And he had to live from that age all the way until that end. And so I believe that he was preparing when he said, I must go about my Father's business to reach that end. And I always looked at that in such a way because he was Jesus, the man, who knew that he was going to die. Not only did he know, because we know we're going to die, but you don't know how. Your hope is old age, and your hope is about 105, and you still can walk and talk and move about. You're not in a hospice, but we don't know. But he knew. He knew. And that just, I'm sorry, that's my Lord and Savior. Because he knew. Everything he had to do, he knew. But if I be lifted up, he knew that. And yet he went forward every day. Every day he did the things the Lord told him to do. I would not forsake the Lord. I didn't know that song was in the book. I couldn't sing it because I can't guarantee I can't do it. But I have to repent and come back and say, God, forgive me. I ran. But Jesus never forsook his duty. And he knew where the end was. So that's what that always grabbed me, that he did the things that he was going to do. But there were close calls along the way. I think we remember when his brother said, well, why don't you go down to Jerusalem? He said, no. It's not my time. And he said, no, I'm not going down there. Because you know what? Jesus had to avoid some things. He went home to Bethlehem, and he read the thing from Isaiah, and they wanted to throw him off the cliff. So he had to kind of do some stuff to get around them. Because see, like every time he came out with the truth of who he was, somebody wanted to kill him. So he had to avoid that. But he knew eventually it's coming. Eventually it's coming. So Jesus often retreated alone to pray, and we hear about this all the time. And those prayers were not impressed upon men to be added to this inspired word. In other words, every time Jesus prayed, we weren't told about him praying. It'll kick over in a minute. About him praying. So, but he prayed quite a bit. He often went off by himself and prayed. And I like to imagine that when he went off and prayed, that he prayed for what? All through the New Testament, Jesus was hounded by the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Jewish elders, concerning how they should find a way to put him to death. So I can only imagine some of those private prayers, look at that, could have been for strength, considering the Bible tells us that by putting on flesh, Jesus was tempted by the same temptations we are. See, Jesus knew. He knew what was going on. It says he was tempted. So you got to think that he was tempted to do what? He was tempted. He didn't do it. He was tempted to say, hey, maybe I can find something else to do. We do a direct dial to Pops and tell them, is there another way? Because, these people down here are serious. They didn't have it all. They didn't want to believe it all. They didn't want to see it all. Prophets had been prophesying about it all. They were that Jerusalem that they were talking to. But all of that time, They just didn't want to get it. And all of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all of these people who had put on all this thing to defend the very thing. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. sorry, it gets good sometimes. But Jesus knew, he knew how. The wind ain't going to kick up for about 5 minutes. But he knew when and why every detail of his death, especially being lifted up before those men who wanted him dead to keep power for themselves. I have not found a reason why the Pharisees wanted to put him to death other than what? They wanted to, hey, we still want to make the decision. We're compromising. We're making we're dealing with Rome. And Rome isn't bothering the people. What is he going to do? So they, to me, were trying to hold on to that power. And if you notice where it says, power they accumulated defending the very thing, which is the coming of the Messiah. When they were back in Daniel's day and back in Jeremiah's day and being taken off to this place and taken off to that place. And they were kind of assimilating themselves into those cultures. And those were the ones who were saying, no. Don't go that way. I remember that Jeremiah said, you might as well go ahead and build, go ahead and build your homes and you do all the things that you're going to do because what? Because you're going to be there a while. You're going to be there a while. But they were the ones who were saying, hold on to what? To what the prophets are saying. There is coming a Messiah. Don't forget there's coming a Messiah. Don't forget not to be involved in idolatry. Don't forget not to forsake the Lord. Don't forget what? Salvation is coming. But somewhere along the line, the power got too good. I think there's a saying, all power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it seems that that was exactly what happened. So if you turn, go ahead and turn, if you haven't already, to John chapter 14. And I'm going to start, I'm going to let you hold there for a minute. Because I'm going to try to set this up. And I'm going to go back to the same book, to chapter 13. And I'm going to go to chapter 13 of the book of John. And I'm going to start at verse 21. And I'm going to start at 21. And I'm going to try to read this all the way through without much commentary. And it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now, we're in the upper room. They're all gathered around. And he's trying to get them to understand that it's getting close. It's getting near. He's been going through and going through, and we're coming to this point in time. So now he has those 12 men. And instead of telling them all the other things that he says, somebody's going to betray me. It's going to be one of you. Then the disciples look one on another, doubting of whom he spoke of. And now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him. He said, hey, beckoned to him that he should ask whom that Jesus spoke. But he told me, what's going on? He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified. Go back. When Jesus had thus okay. He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he said dipped the sop, he gave it to who? We know who he gave it to. He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into Judas, and then said Jesus unto him, thou dost dove, go do quickly. So remember, he knew. You go back in the same book of John, I forget how far back, but he said what? All of y'all ain't right, and one of you is the devil. So he knew. They didn't know, but he knew. So now he knows I'm getting closer, and he said what? Go do it. He didn't say, go do it. No man at the table knew for what intent he stayed unto this, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should be answered, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And we all know what happened from there. So we know, because we have a Bible, that Jesus knows his time has come. But if listen to what Jesus tells the 11 who are there with him in that upper room. He says, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also on me. Remember, Jesus is talking to men who were of Jewish descent. They were Israelites. And so it's not hard to imagine that they did believe in God. But then he challenges them, just as he challenged us, as he is challenging anyone who may not be a believer. Believe also in me. And this is not something new. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Believe also in me. They believed in God. He says, believe also in me. See, I put that as the second step in the preparation. First, you must first believe there is a God. Then they must believe in his son. Then they must believe what he did on the cross was for their salvation, just as much as it was for our salvation, because we're always telling them it was for our salvation. But then we follow up with, it was for your salvation too. It's for their salvation too. He didn't leave them out. And he what? He would have that none perish, and that all would come to repentance. Nobody was left out. It's not just for our salvation. It's for their salvation. It's for every person that's out there who's saying, I don't believe. But they have salvation too if they just do what they need to do to get it. First, you have to believe there's a God. I was saying for y'all, because that just set that right up. There is a, no, okay. Remember, Jesus is prepared. He knew the time it was. What time it was, as Christians, we believe we are prepared as well. I like the song that the brothers sang. I like the fact that it says, I will not forsake the Lord. I like the fact that he says, at least you should try not to forsake the Lord. It was a good lead-in. I never heard it before, but it was a good lead-in. Because you say, what? You shouldn't forsake the Lord. But if you do, you need to jump back on the wagon. So it was a good song. Because we believe we're prepared as well. But the non-believer, well, our concern is for them. just as Jesus' concern was for those 11 men in that room, at that point, Jesus was saying, I got to go to the cross, but I need you guys to don't be worried. No, you don't wonder why he's your Lord and Savior. He said, don't be, I'm going to be the one that's got to go and hang, but don't y'all be worried. Being prepared is ensuring that when you die, your soul returns to God. But not just that, because we know that when you die, you go in the ground, but your body, your soul returns to God. But we know what? If it's not in this right order, he's going to send it off. Maybe people are just leaving out, they're just leaving out one or two details. Maybe they're just leaving out a couple of details. See, I was listening to that earlier. But maybe they were just listening out a couple of details. One of those details is your soul got to be right with God for him to keep it. And if it's not right with God, he's going to do what? He's going to ship it off. So that's what we're trying to explain so that he doesn't ship it off. So you want your soul to return to God, but you want it to stay with God throughout eternity. Jesus wanted those men to hang on and hang in there because he knew it was about to get tough. And it was going to get tough for him. But he's telling them, hang on. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I had to go back a little bit to the Wycliffe Bible, and it says, in the house of my Father be many dwellings. That saying of Jesus has confused many because of course, the King James Version. Rendering of the word house and mansions, the Greek word is translated, I had to look this up, Greek word was translated, house means an abode, literally or figuratively, and by implication, a family. See, that sounds better. You're going to abode with God. You're becoming a part of his family. And the word mansions or rooms means literally the act of staying or residing. So putting the Greek together, Jesus is saying that in God's heaven, there will be many people in the family of God all abiding together. Within God's heavenly house, Christians will live in the presence of the Lord. That sounded a lot better than what the King James put it, but guess what? When you read it in the King James, it makes you look it up. It's the same thing, but you get to live with God. You get to live with him. I think I said 2 or 3 weeks ago that you get to ask all those questions you think you're going to ask God when you see him face to face. I hope you wrote them down and put them somewhere that doesn't, is just indestructible. That way you don't forget when the light is on you. And he's looking at you like, yeah, you're going crazy. Pray, because you ain't going to say nothing about what's going on. You think you are, but you're not. Just in case, you think you are, but you're not. But you write it down. Put it somewhere. And if you get up there and you're face-to-face with him, you can take it out and say, God, here's a list of stuff I've been wanting to ask you for the last 50 years. I was able to manage to put it in my indestructible sock, and I pulled it out, and there's about 50 things I want to ask you about what went on for the last 50 years of my life. You have indestructible. Put it down there. Put it down in your indestructible sock. Yeah. You put it down in your indestructible, sock, and you rip that bad boy out. You ask them, why do good, bad things happen to good people? And they'll tell you, you ain't good all the time. Sometimes you messed up, and there were consequences. Oh, and by the way, I didn't put the consequences on you. The consequences came because of what you did. You're not going to get up there and win no argument with God in his own house. But you put it in that indestructible sock. You pull it out and you sit there and you can talk to God at all eternity to ask him those questions. Christians will live in the presence of the Lord. Now pray for me, because I want to go too. Because sometimes the stuff I say is God. But pray for me. Jesus is letting them know that there is plenty of room in his Father's house. It may not be a mansion for each Christian, which we've heard, depending on who you're listening to, but the space is more than big enough for each Christian to live with the Heavenly Father. I'm going to be in heaven on my mansion on the porch rocking. Yeah. Okay. Because he was old. I didn't want to bust his bubble. He was old. He was in the body. That's what he wanted to believe. You know, okay. Yeah. But you have enough room for all of us to be there. All of us. All of us get to see the throne, and we get to see Christ, and we get to see the elders. And we just... We get to be with the Heavenly Father. Y'all notice what we tell people. And then he goes on and finishes off and says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he's saying, hang on and hang in there. He's telling us, hang on and hang in there, and eventually I'm going to come and get you. He didn't say sit around and try to figure out when I'm coming back. He said, do what I tell you to do until I come back. You see, some of us may not be here when he comes back. Some of us might. We don't know. We have no idea. I don't even try to think about when he's coming back. I try to do what he asked me to do while I'm here. I think I focus on that a little bit more than trying to figure out, you know, it's 7 days by 7 days by 9 layers by seven. I'm not trying to figure Daniel out. I'm not. People have spent so much time trying to figure Daniel out. And then this is a length of a year, and then you divide that by half a year, and you divide that by a quarter of a year, and you divide that by 2 hours, and then multiply it by 15 years. They're trying to figure it out. They ain't trying to do what he said to do. They're sitting there, oh, well, I'm going to figure out when he's coming back. There you may be also. So in the prior comments, Jesus pointed out that he was about to go somewhere others could not follow, but the short-term implications that only Jesus could walk the path of sacrifice. Nobody else even qualified. They could have said, I think Peter even said, well, I'll go with you. And he said, you can't go. You can't have this cup. He told somebody else, are you willing to take the cup? But he knew they couldn't take the cup. They didn't fit the qualifications. So Jesus could walk the path of sacrifice, death, resurrection, and ascension. In a broader sense, Jesus to continue to provide reassurance for his disciples. Jesus assured that whatever he was to go through, wherever he was to go to, this is the point I'm trying to make in these, we'll hear this evening. There is reassurance in believing in Christ. Just the fact that Jesus says, I will come again and receive you to myself. That gives you reassurance. If you believe in Christ. If you believe in him, you say you believe in him. If you believe in him, then that should be reassuring. I'm going to come and get you. And it should be reason enough, because like I said, I just hold on as we go through any of the things we go through. And think, look, there's a list of stuff that we're going through. There's a list of stuff that everybody's going through. We could be going through persecution. We talk about it, that there are Christians who are persecuted. We could be going through wrongful prosecution, even though most of you are guilty. But anyway, we could go through depression, suppression, discrimination, that's age, sex, race. We can go every trial, and I spell trial, trail, if you look at it, you would see it. But guess what? Think about it. If you're on the wrong trail, Jesus can help with that too. So whether it's a trial or a trail, Jesus got you covered. All your tribulations, what do? You say, forgive me for what I have done to you. You ask for forgiveness for what you've done to others. And through all that, Jesus says, if you hold on to me, I'm coming back for you. If you believe in Jesus, there can be no greater preparation than that. See, that's why we need to be prepared, but we don't need to be prepared to be able to afford a $30,000 funeral for the seven people who actually like us. With my case, it's one. I'm not even sure about that. But look here. That's the whole thing. It's not about that. It's not about having that lavish funeral that's going to cost so much that it's going to put everybody in debt. It's about what happens after the funeral. It's about what happens when your soul does that thing. I don't think I've heard anybody actually say, atheist or not, that your soul stays with you in death. I've never heard anybody even argue it. I'd say that bad boy goes back up to God who gave it. God dismisses it. Or he takes it in. And there's no better preparation than that. And whither I go, you know the way. And then, of course, my best friend Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, what? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except by me. If you got somebody that's out there telling you it's another way, you better walk away. You better walk away, because he said it. You can quote him. He said it right there. Remember, he walked the earth. He said it to people. There's no way that you can get to the Father except through me. So there's no way that you can get to the Father except through him. Jesus says, it would look so pretty if it's up there, but it's not. I am, or I myself, and only I am. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, remember what he said before John 8 towards the end? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He gave an emphasis by saying, I am with you till the end of the age. When there was up and Moses said, nobody's going to listen to me. Well, what am I going to tell the people when what? When I go down and tell them that the Lord, he said, what am I? He said, tell them I am sent you. He did. He said, tell them I am sent you. And then Moses had, y'all remember, Moses had that whole argument thing with him. And God actually sat there and said, okay. And then he said, well, here comes Aaron. Go do what I told you to do. I will never understand that Moses had a relationship that all of us desire to have with God. Because he just sat there and listened to Moses. Like, you know, when Moses broke the stones, he told him, go and you cut your own stones out and you get back up here. Because he wanted the people, he put up with Moses. That was a relationship. Till the end of the age. Jesus says these words, and they reflect the very name of God in Hebrew, which means to be or the self-existing one. It is a name of power and authority, and Jesus claimed it as his own. I am. Well, not me, I am. I'm just saying. Jesus said, I am. Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus distinguished himself as the only way, the path, or maybe the trail, maybe the trial. I was thinking of earlier when the disciples had expressed their confusion about where he was going and how they could follow him as he had told them from the beginning. Jesus was telling them again, and he tells us, follow me. You follow me, and at the end, I'll take you where I'm going. Follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I said, follow me as I follow the Bible. Don't follow me anywhere else. Follow me as I follow the Bible. I don't have Paul, but I have a Bible. There is no other path to heaven, no other way to the Father. The way Peter reiterated years later to the rulers in Jerusalem, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to our men must be saved. See, that comes into the New Testament. He said, no, there's only one name in which you can be saved. There's only one way to be saved. So if we are willing to follow Jesus, we're going to be prepared. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about preparation. We're talking about that preparation for the real end. See, you say that to some people, they'll look at you funny. That's when you tell them, yeah, there's a real end. And if nothing else, look at them and say, what if everything I'm saying is true? Tell them to think about it. I told some people to think about that. They look at you kind of funny if they're serious. What if everything I'm telling you is true? And there you go. Jesus is going to be prepared. I come with a show. The truth, he says, I am the truth. Jesus emphasized himself as the only truth. Jesus, as the incarnate word of God, is the source of all truth. He says, I am the life. Jesus is the source of all life. He can do what? He can lay his life down and then take it back up again. The authority over life and death all being granted to him by the Father. The promise that because I live, you also will live, a true deliverance from a life of bondage to sin and death to a life of freedom and eternity. That's being prepared. That's when we're prepared and we're following Christ and we're doing the things we're supposed to be doing and we're found trying to do those things. A deliverance from a life of bondage to sin and death to a life of freedom and eternity. Because other than that, you go right back to a life of bondage. You go back to a life of bondage in the lake of the burns with fire and sulfur. That's bondage. I don't say it's bondage like Looney Tunes, the devil down there hitting you with a pitchfork or a whip trying to get you to work. I mean, it's bondage because it's fire and brimstone. And you're suffering. Do I need to do the Lazarus and the rich man thing again? You're suffering. But you can have a life of freedom and eternity. In these words, Jesus was declaring himself the great I am, the only path to heaven, the only true measure of righteousness, and the source of both physical and spiritual life. He was staking his claim as the very God of creation, the Lord who blessed Abraham, the only one who came from eternity and who got to go back to eternity. He did this so the disciples would be able to face the dark days ahead. Remember I talked before I started reading off, I said he was trying to comfort those men. He knew that there were dark days coming, and the dark days ahead, and continued the mission of declaring the gospel to the world. And of course, we know from Scripture, they still did not understand fully, and it took several visits from their risen Lord to shake them out of their disbelief. Once they understood the truth of his words, they became changed people, and the world was never the same again, and has never been the same. And guess what? We're here today still teaching and preaching that word for the same cause that they did 2,000 years ago. That's our job. We're preaching a 2,000-year-old, Brother Ray said, you're preaching a 2,000-year-old story. What's the moral of the story? Follow Jesus. Hold on to him. Hang in there when things get tough. Don't forsake the Lord. Get some strength out of what you're reading. Get some strength out of your fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Get some strength when you come and you're reading your Bible. Get some strength in your time in the Lord. Where some come down to it, you can say, what? I will not forsake God. He won't forsake me. Why should I forsake him? But like I said, this is a lot longer. But I'm going to go ahead and stop it right there. And I just want you to think about that a little bit, about being prepared. Being prepared for the inevitable end. That's the thing to be prepared for, the inevitable end. And I apologize for my thing disconnecting, but my internet probably wasn't strong enough to handle it. But it did when I was here by myself, but y'all weren't here, so I had to let it go. But anyway, it's the inevitable end, but, you know, hang in there. Hold on. Pray. Pray. That's it. Pray every time. Pray all the time. Pray for everybody. I think pray like everybody's life depends on it, because everybody's life does. Pray for even the ones who don't want to believe it. All right, we're going to get up and we're going to sing a song. And of course, you know to hear, repent, confess, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then we'll get you baptized and that whole thing will get you cleansed of your sins. And remember what Jesus did for you at the cross. And that's the important thing. So if you have that need and you're watching this, again, just hit the comment button. If you're watching this later on our website or just on somebody send it to you on Facebook, hit the comment section. We'll get back with you and get you straight. All right, we're going to sing that song.